الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا آباءكم وإخوانكم أولياء إن استحبوا الكفر على الإيمان. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. In this ayat al-kareema, Allah Ta'ala warns the believers, then don't take even your parents, your elders, your parents, even your brothers as friends, if they give preference to kufr over iman. So that means if anyone, if your parents are so clear, so close, your brothers are so close, and in many other ayat, Allah has explained that whoever it might be, the only thing is the love of Allah for Allah's sake and haqq and batil. Besides that, who belongs to which family, how close that person is, how much favors he has got on me, what and what he has done for me, all that doesn't count. Haqq and batil is the criteria and with preference to Allah Ta'ala. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has explained the concept al-kufru duna kufrin, that there are levels of kufr. The highest kufr, we all know that you totally you don't believe in Allah Ta'ala, etc. And then even the Quran Sharif and generally the small disobedience has also been referred to as kufr. Like na shukri, to be unthankful. Wala in kafartum. Allah Ta'ala himself says, referring to if you make na shukri. So according to the level of the sin is the level of the association and the relationship. If it is open kufr, your very close person has become a kafir, or he is commanding you as kufr, then at that level you totally oppose it. And if it is a small thing, then at that level. So at all levels. And also we must be very careful that it is all the small things that become the big things. So don't take small things as small, they lead to the big things. So presently we have this confusion, this problem about in the Jamaat work about the Nizamuddin group and the Shura group. So there are two groups which everyone generally is aware of. So with regard to that, we find people have become divided in various groups. Somebody on the Shura side, they believe that is correct and they follow them. Somebody is on Nizamuddin side, they follow that, they believe that is correct. Somebody on both sides, they were Shura also and with Nizamuddin. They support Shura people also, they support Nizamuddin people also. They allow Shura Jamaats in their masjid, they allow Nizamuddin Jamaats also. Then there are those who are not with any side, people who are not in Tabligh, who got no interest in Tabligh. They never go Ijtima, Jamaat, nothing. For them there is nothing, like no Shura, no Nizamuddin, there is nothing. Then there are the other people who have got doubts. We don't know who is on the right. Are the Shura people on right or is Nizamuddin on right? And they are confused. And they hear from this people, then they think, yeah, it's right what you are saying. They hear from those people, no, it's right what you are saying. They are in a state of confusion. Then there are those people who made this a subject, but they got nothing to do with it. Just like any current topic, they just discuss it, but they're not interested in it. They have got like nothing to do with it. So there are all these different groups. So in all that, we have to think, where do I stand? Which side do I stand? And as I mentioned, it is, we have to see that I'm on Haqq. I'm on Allah's side. That is, my akhirat mustn't be destroyed. My akhirat must be made. That is the most important. So we all must keep, some of us, we just want to keep the peace from all sides. And we find that to have unity, to have peace. But unity and peace also can only be when it is on haq, on batil, falsehood. There can be no unity and there can be no peace. So it's a purpose of every individual to find out. If we have somebody we trust in, some alim, some of our elders, we follow them. And if we don't have anyone, then we must do our own investigation. We should go and study now and find out. Like, for example, you know how to apply for a passport. It's a simple, straightforward thing. You go. But some people are, like, very hesitant in these things. So they'll approach somebody else. You help me. You guide me how to do this work. So if we have somebody who we feel we trust, then we follow them. And otherwise, it is our first to make our own investigation and to study it properly. But it is a matter of our akhirat. It is a matter of our deen. It is a matter of our iman and Islam. It is not a small matter. It is not my button has broken, so whether I fix it or not doesn't matter. Or my tap washer is worn out, so it doesn't matter if I fix it now. But these dunya things we give lot of preference to. But about deeni matters, we just leave it stalling like that. It's very necessary that our deeni matters, and we see in our elders, great, great elders of our ulama, when any small, what we will call small, deeni matter, they went out of their way to sort it out. They didn't understand one thing. They went out of the way to find out. And they investigated, they studied, they went to ulama that I can't go in my qabr like this. I must, this thing must be sorted out. So Allah give us tawfiq to understand all that also. So then these differences, the first thing we should keep in mind, that how serious are they? Is it that some people are just making a mountain of a molehill? Or somebody just exaggerating and just making it look big, which is nothing so serious, which is nothing so big? Or is it something big? That is also our duty. When we know it is there, then to what extent is it? What is the problem? So we all should have that worry and try and find out what is the problem. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says that if two people have a dispute and they go to the qadi, to the judge, in our times they bring it to the court, that this, if you first file a charge against somebody, whatever your problem, so the judge, the magistrate, the qadi cannot tell them, why are you people fighting amongst yourself? You are upsetting the unity in the community. You sort out your problems, if at the least that agree to disagree, but don't cause this unity. The qazi can't say that. It is his duty to hear what this person has got to say, what the other person, and then in the light of the law, everything, he has to tell who is right and who is wrong. You can't tell both are right. You can't tell both are wrong. You have to find out. And then where there is a government, then the government will enforce the law, the verdict of the qazi, of the judge. And the wrong one, they will make him come right. If doesn't, he'll have to be jailed. He'll have to pay a fine. They will punish him for it. So in all these matters, we have to see who is right, who is wrong. And then we have to decide. Then it's easy to decide who we should follow and who we should not follow. And all this must be on the Quran and Hadith as far as Haq and Batil is concerned. Not a matter of dreams. Not a matter of family lineage. Not a matter of, like in this matter, somebody say it's a Gujarat, the Gujarat ulama and the UP ulama difference. It's nothing like that. We have to find out what is the difference. And all other things and all our matters of deen will be decided first and foremost by the Quran Sharif. If we get our answer in the Quran Sharif, that's the end of it. If not, Hadith Sharif we go. If not, then the consensus of the ulama, what the ulama have now agreed. If not, and then by analogy and logic, we see the proofs. There is no fuf dalil and proof. No dream, no somebody belongs to a great family, no just my feeling, my gut feeling. All these things don't count anything. It must be on the four adilla arba. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, he gave this advice that if you see anyone's guna, private guna, then keep quiet about it, conceal it. Advise him in your personal capacity. Don't make an issue about it. And there are great warnings of that. If we expose somebody's guna, Allah will disgrace us and expose us in our family. So that is haram. But Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, if somebody, his guna is about deeni matters, and it will cause people to go astray in deen, then expose that person. So that is easy to understand, that a guna which any person commits, we come to know of somebody's guna. If it is own personal private guna, then we are commanded to conceal that guna. Personally, explain to the person. And if we don't, Allah will punish us for that if we go and expose that person's guna. Then there are certain gunas that we condone. We know it's a guna, but we allow it. Like, for example, a person is working in a bank, in an insurance company, and his income is haram. Now he comes to realize. He'll go and ask Mufti Saab, what must I do? Mufti Saab, in most cases, the ruling is, tell him immediately look for another job. And in the moment you carry on here, you look for another job. And as soon as you find another job, you give up this job. So it's been condoned for a while. And this also is a very important matter to understand. We don't seem to understand which commands are to us and which commands are for somebody else. That person who has a strong iman, for him to give up his job immediately is for us. A person who has got weak iman, and by giving up the job and he comes in financial worse difficulties, he can lose his iman. So for him is a different ruling, and for the other person is a different ruling. We call it double standards. It is all because we are influenced with Western thinking. Otherwise, we know very famously the saying, Hasanatul Abrar, Sayyiatul Muqarrabin. Abrar, the muttaqeen, are the people who fulfill Allah's command. They don't commit gunas. They fulfill all Allah's the basic faraiz, wajibat, nawafil. They stay away from haram. The abrar are those who do all that. Together with that, they engage in lot of nafal, extra ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. And more higher than them are the muqarrabeen, the very close people. So the laws for the muqarrabeen are different. The laws for the abrar are different. The laws for the muttaqeen are different. Now we mistake which laws, and then we say like double standards. Like for example, the wife knows all the commands which are directed to the husband. They treat your wife kindly. You mustn't make zulam on your wife. That she knows. But, and the husband knows all the laws which apply to the wife. That you must be obedient. You must make khidmat, etc. Whereas what is for the wife, she should know and she should act. And what's for the husband, he should do. Also, like for example, for the poor, the command is don't beg. But now the rich people, they take that. And when the beggar comes, they told him, Allah says, don't beg. And for the rich person, the command is don't turn away the beggar. Now that, the poor person knows that law. And he tells the rich person, don't turn away the beggar. So the rich must not turn away the beggar, the poor must not beg. Not that we're using it in the wrong place. So it's very, very important to understand that. Then there are certain gunas which have to be exposed. And certain gunas that have to be condemned. Like for example, if it's a guna with a person, he claims nabuwat, for example. Now you can't conceal that. And especially the gunas of the people who are muqtada, the imams, the leaders. If they make a mistake and guna as far as aqidah is concerned, it's not permissible for the ulama of the time to keep quiet. And if they keep quiet, they will be guilty of the guna of mudahana, treachery. They are committing treachery in the deen. And when they speak, they are not making ghibat. It's there for us to speak and expose those people who have gone dal, who have gone astray. And together with that, they have become mudil. They are leading others also astray. Then therefore, the ulama to keep quiet is their biggest sin at that time. and for them just to keep on with their ibadat and their own individual, and we don't want to get involved in this controversy, and that is their biggest sin at that time. They must also make it known. And every person, kullukum ra'in, wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyati. Everyone is a shepherd and will be asked about his herd. And man ra'a minkum munkaran, whoever sees a wrong being done. So every person according to his influence. If it is like the imam of the masjid, him at that level. You are the imam of your house. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. It's for you to tell your house people is for us. If you have got influence on your big family, extended family, it's for us to inform them all also. So everyone according to the authority he's got, to that extent, it is for us to make it known also. A very important thing also to understand is that differences are inevitable. Some people say that why don't you ulama sit together and come to one conclusion, and then we follow that you will all agree, and you come and you discuss it behind closed doors. Many people give this advice, wise people of dunya people. They say you ulama sit behind closed doors, thresh out all your differences and just give us the recipe, the straightforward thing. That can never happen. In Tilka, give me the Quran, shall I? Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala explains this in few places in the Quran Sharif. Yeah, Allah explains it quite clear. Allah Ta'ala says, this is the beginning of the third Supara, Tilka. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. If Allah had wished, then the people should not fight, make qital. The people who came afterwards, مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ, after clear proofs had come to them. So Allah says clear proofs had come to them. So now they should not have differed. And differences up to the level of fighting also with one another. وَلَكِنْ اِخْتَلَفُوا. The reality of the matter is, Allah says, they had their differences. After clear proof came to them, they had their differences. And the result of the differences, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنْ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَفَرْ. Some became mu'min and some became kuffar. There were their difference. Again Allah says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا. If Allah wished, they should not have made qital, fight, not only have differences, but they shouldn't have fought with. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. Allah is the overlooking planner, is Allah Ta'ala. And Allah does as He pleases. In the tafsir of this ayat, the ulama explained, if Allah wished, Allah should have created all people on one religion. And not even different sects in one religion. Like Jews also got plenty sects. Over 72. Christians also have got. Muslims also, how many? The Shia, the Qadianis, the Hanafis, the Barilwis, all Tablighis. So many. Allah, if Allah wished, Allah should make all one. And no difference with them, what the people are saying. What Allah has ordained and history is carrying on. They want to turn back the wheels of history right to the beginning and then make a new history. Allah said that is not going to happen. So that won't happen. Then also the Mufassirin explained at this point, Allah could have done this also, that all should have been different. Different religion, different sects, but everyone should be happy and accept the other person. Nobody should interfere with no one. Nobody should argue and try and prove I'm right, you wrong, or anything like, all should, you go your way, I go my way. We all should agree to disagree. But Allah did not wish that also. And the reason for this is, the ulama explained, Allah wanted to show that how His chosen servants love Him, that they will fight and they will die for His path also. So Allah wanted that. As our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, in the Battle of Uhud, 70 Sahaba wrote the love of Allah with the blood of martyrdom to prove for Allah we will give our lives also. We will do anything for Allah's sake. So that is what Allah wants. And the ulama have written Why Allah has made some kafir, some mu'min, all these differences, it's a secret which till today nobody has understood. It's Allah's work, and Allah does as He pleases. The work of a banda is not to find fault, na'uzubillah, with Allah, to try and not even to try and find a reason for things. A banda is a slave who accepts wholeheartedly. Allah has done it that way, we accept it. When Allah will open that secret to us in this world, in the akhirat, then we will know. But Allah's work is full of hikmat and wisdom. We accept wholeheartedly. What Allah has done is perfect. We can't understand. Like many people who can't understand many laws of Islam, they take objection. But when they are given the explanation, they are astounded and they submit fully now. We didn't know that Islam sees so far away. We were looking at it from a very shallow point. And Islam gave the solution in such detail that we won't go into that. But many times we have explained various things where the wisdom, where Allah makes it known. So that is the system of Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So that will carry on. Now, in all these things is, I must see if I'm on haq. And not what my family is saying, not what my community is saying, on if I trust, I have that level of trust on an alim, a leader, my sheikh, then I follow him. And if not, it's my duty then now to go and study properly. With the proper tools, that is, become an alim, to understand deen properly. And on that basis now study deen and come to the right conclusion. That is a farz upon us. I must see if I'm on haq, on the basis of the Quran, hadith, ijma, and qiyas. And then it is my duty to support the haq. Every one of us, once we are now satisfied that the truth and the people who are on haq are these people, it's our duty to support them and to make known our support. In the 70 odd departments of iman, Allama Aini rahmatullah alayhi has written, one of the requisites of iman is that we must support the truth. And the mafhum e mukhalif, the opposite understanding, that we must detach from the falsehood. We have nothing to do with the people on the falsehood. Not we have, we show them also a good face, and we show them also a good face. We are like munafiqs, no. We must attach and connect ourselves with the truth and the right, and we must detach from the wrong, from the people of the wrong and the batil. And according to the level of the wrong, to that extent, we must detach from them also. And it is our duty then, when we have realized who is on the right and the wrong, that we oppose and expose the batil, so that people don't fall in that trap. Thus, when it comes to dini matters, which we should have understood much more easier, unfortunately, we don't understand. And dunya's matters, we all understand. That if there is traffic speed, say checking traffic speed somewhere, we tell one another, and if we didn't say, why didn't you tell me? That we understand. If there's a fire somewhere, we tell everyone, be careful, there's a fire there. If there's a snake somewhere, there's a snake, be careful. That we all understand. If somebody does wrong as far as dunya, is a drug addict, a drug lord, all that, we warn people about that. But dini matters, in spite of us knowing, which are much, much more serious than all the gunas of this world, the dini matters are much more serious. That we say, you mustn't talk. You must keep the peace, you must keep the unity. Only Allah knows where our minds get distorted in these matters. And it's not really difficult to understand, as Allah explains, that وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلَ. Allah says, we drench them, we fill them with the worship of the cow. Otherwise, any person can see that to worship a cow is the worst, most stupid thing. How can you worship a cow? What can a cow do for you? But when a person commits, and at the end Allah says, be kufri him, because of their kufr. And this kufr starts with small things. And then it goes bigger, bigger, till you become fully saturated with kufr. Now 100% you see kufr as right. You fight for kufr. You give your life for kufr. So much. So it starts with a small thing and it goes to this extent. Your whole thinking is warped. Your whole thinking is upside down. And this is which comes in the hadith. A time will come. People will do the wrong and they will not do the right. They will say the wrong is right. And the right is wrong. They will command the wrong and they will forbid the right. That will happen. That is all the small, small things which we say that you are being too extreme in this matter. You are too hard in this matter. But this is what it leads. And not difficult to understand. In Indonesia, the Pope in the biggest masjid in Jakarta, he gave the pre-Juma talk. And the Imam kissed his hand in front of the whole majma. So where it led to? We thought a small little, this interfaith, we have peace with all the religions, but where it has led to? The Nurul Islam last week, a whole cinema, whole big screen, not in the courtyard, not in the hall next door, in the masjid, the wall, front wall, the whole screen, a bioscope, a cinema, the masjid is made. And what environment and what atmosphere. So the small things are not small. They lead to all this big, big thing. So we have to be very careful. And we have to be, and also the small leads to the big. And shaitan doesn't work for what immediate results. What we are doing, our children, they also may be saved. Grandchildren, somewhere along the line, they are going to go. And kufr didn't just start like that. Gradually over, not days, not decades, not scores, after centuries, then shaitan brings his kufr. And we start it off in a small way. It's a small thing. Why you being so hard on the small thing? But you don't know what it's leading to. Today it's a small thing. Tomorrow it becomes a very big thing. So therefore, we have to be very careful in all these things. So, Quran and Sharia, ulama, fuqaha, Allah reward them, that they have told that this, that don't take the wrongdoers as your friends according to the different levels. And in there, you cannot have mawalat, hearty love for one another. Yani true, sincere love from one another, you cannot have with the wrongdoers at all. And then four things are explained here. One is to have a love from the heart for the wrongdoers at the lowest level till the highest level. And according to the levels, you can't have that love for them. Then second is called muwasat. That is, even if they are in difficulty, floods come and droughts come, you are allowed to help them out for in that also. And Muslims are doing that also. The third is muwasat, mudarat. You can befriend them outwardly to invite them to Islam. Or somebody is still in Islam but is doing all wrong things. Now you befriend him to invite him, to get him to do the right thing. And the fourth is mu'amalat, business dealings. That we are permitted to deal with anyone in business, but only business, not become their friends and become very close to them. You are allowed to get a non-Muslim carpenter to work in the masjid. In your house you are allowed. You are allowed to do business with non-Muslim people. With Jews, you are allowed to do business. With everyone. So, Islam has given it. It's no conundrum, no difficult thing to understand. It's clear cut. And this is the duty of the ulama to explain to the public that all these things are there and it is easy for us to form, to follow. Now, with regard to Maulana Saad, and the Nizamuddin, the bone of contention with him are three things basically. This is my understanding, Allah knows better. Two are within Tabligh circles, and they have to do more with Tabligh Jamaat. And the third has to do with the whole Ummah. The two with Tabligh Jamaat, the first is that Maulana Saad is changing the whole work of Tabligh now. And he says, I want to bring it on Sirat, on the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there a lot of discussion from both sides. And this they bring all their great proofs and like fine points. It's nothing new. It's all old hat. These things have been carrying on all their arguments. And the replies to the arguments also are old hat. the things in detail it has been explained. Just on that, let me explain another principle, very important in this matter and in all other matters, that where there are these differences between people, then the Quran has explained a beautiful usul here at the beginning of Sayyakul. That we explained was beginning of Tilka. This is beginning of Sayyakul. Allah Ta'ala says that first the Qibla of the Muslims was the Kaaba. Then Allah made it in between towards Baytul Muqaddas. That you face Baytul Muqaddas for a period of 7-8 months or something. Then Allah gave again the command, now the Qibla will be the Kaaba Sharif. So then the Jews became very upset and angry because they were happy that Muslims are following their Kaaba. Their Kaaba is Baytul Muqaddas, Jerusalem. And our Kaaba is Qibla is Kaaba Sharif in Makkah Sharif. So they wanted, the Muslims, they got angry and they used to, lot of things they said, all big discussions about that. So anyway, so with regard to that, Allah Ta'ala gave the command, وَحَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرًا. Now wherever you are, you face the Kaaba. And this command came in Asr Namaz, when they were making Namaz, in which is still there today in Medina, Masjid al-Qiblatain. And that Masjid, now they have made the signs are not so clear, but still the signs are there. Before it was very clear. The Muslims were making Namaz in that direction. And the command came in Namaz, and in Namaz they changed in the complete opposite direction. Not slightly a few degrees this side, few degrees, completely opposite direction. The whole Jamaat turned around, and that is known as Masjid al-Qiblatain. So when that happened now, then all, just like now, and always it happens, arguments for and against this, and that happens, that happened that time also. So the Jews also gave all their explanations. So Allah says, وَلَيْنْ أَتَيْتَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ بِكُلِّ آيَةٍ. If you bring whatever proof you want to the Ahle Kitab, that this is the right Qibla for us, Muslims, the Kaaba, مَا تَبِعُوا قِبْلَتَكَ. They are not going to follow your Qibla. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِتَعْبِينَ قِبْلَتَهُمْ. And you're not going to follow their Qibla. You're not going to follow now. Allah gave you the command, Kaaba Sharif. Now you will never follow the face Baytul Muqaddas now. And they won't face the Kaaba. وَمَا بَعْضُمْ بِتَعْبِينَ قِبْلَةَ بَعْثِ. Nobody will follow. You won't follow theirs, they won't follow yours. وَلَيْنِي تَبَعَتَ أَهْوَاهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. And if you follow their command, their, what they want there, if you start now, say, peace we want, we'll have unity. And we'll follow Baytul Muqaddas, we'll follow you. Allah says, if you do that, after Allah's knowledge came and Allah came to you, إِنَّكَ إِذَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Then you will be amongst the wrongdoers. If you make peace with the wrongdoers, you will be amongst the wrongdoers. الَّذِينَ آتِيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ. These people who have been given the Kitab, the Jews, they know the truth is that the Kaaba is the true Qibla. But they recognize it as they recognize their own children. So much they recognize. وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِّنْهُمْ لَيَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقِّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And a group of them, knowing the truth, they conceal the truth. Then Allah Ta'ala says further, الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. The truth is from Allah, so have no doubt. In this matter now about Nizamuddin and Shura also, the truth is clear. A person should have, and always, whatever controversies come in the world, and they keep on, this is a test for us on our iman. And still more will also come. It's not going to get finished now. It's going to carry on. وَلِكُلِّيُمْ وِجْهَةٌ. Allah says, for everyone we gave them the direction to face. The Muslims, Kaaba Sharif. The Jews, Baytul Muqaddas. فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. So don't doubt. If the Nizamuddin people want to go their way, they will go their way. We will follow our way. You don't have to doubt if we are right or we are wrong. وَلِكُلِّيُمْ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا. Everyone has got his direction which he is following. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. So don't follow in arguments. Do what you have to do. We waste our time in arguments. I'm proving you right, wrong, and you proving me wrong. I'm proving me right, and we waste. فَاسْتَبِقُوا. Do what you have to do. And all the ibadat we have to do gets left out. Now we are proving this point, even in the more inside points between Hanafi and Shafi. So much we'll prove, I'm right, you prove, you, when nobody makes Amr. The thing is to make amal. You do it, Shafis you carry on your way, what is their way? Hanafis you carry on your way. But now we are arguing with one another and proving our point and going to hair-splitting arguments. And what we have to be doing, amal, that we are not doing. So, أينما تكونوا يأتي بكم الله جميعا. Remember, wherever, whatever you are going to return to Allah, all of you. And there Allah will see to all your matters. So this is a very important also principle that we must keep in mind. So Allah Ta'ala has made the system in this way. So the one is the work of tabligh, which Mani Saad says, I want to bring it on the seerat. And now there are more, just plenty of discussion. One man want to decide. If a big masala of the ummah, one mufti says that I'm going to now give the solution. One person, he needs a whole panel of muftis around him. And they all have to be unanimous, not just one person. And you can't look at one, two kitabs, Hayatul Sahaba, Muntakhab Ahadith. There are so many kitabs you have to see. So many different views, which applies when, which applies to whom, which applies under what condition. This is not ever the work of one person. Imam Abu Hanifa, the great Imam, he had Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad with him, Imam Zufar, all the other great. There is not a small matter. So, and to change the work of Jamaat now, so many changes, that is all within Tabligh Jamaat. The other is to claim that I am the Amir now. Till 2014-15, then the Maulana Yamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullahi was the Amir. He passed away. They agreed all. Very clean. In fact, Mali Saad himself told, don't make me the Amir. Because if you make me the Amir, the people of Mewat, they connected with me. They will remain. The people of Delhi, they have got close contact with Maulana Zubair, Maulana Amul Hassan Sapsan. They will get cut off from the work. Because they don't like me, they like Maulana Zubair. If you make, don't make Maulana Zubair the Amir. If you make him the Amir, then the people of Delhi like him. They will keep. But the people of Mewat don't like him. They like me. So they will get off from the work. So don't make anyone Amir. Let us run by Shura. And he himself told us. He suggested it. And it was decided. For 20 years it carried on. Then after 20 years, when Maulana Zubair passed away, he said, I'm Amir now. And then what the sad things he say. He says, when Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam passed away, so hard to repeat these words also. He said, the Sahaba, instead of doing the work of Da'wat, Na'uzubillah, Na'uzubillah, wo khilafat ke chakkar mein par gaye. That they thought, who must be the Khalifa? And he himself, he also gave up the Da'wat work, and he said, claimed Imarat, that I'm the Amir now. What he's accusing them, he's doing it himself also. And he said, I'm the Amir. And to such an extent, when people ask him, who made you the Amir? From who? How come you the Amir? He said, if you don't accept me as Amir, go to Jahannam. Now all this kind of things, how can somebody speak? And which Amir? There is a masala that the Amirul Mu'mineen, the Khalifatul Muslimin, who's in charge of the whole Ummah, anyone who opposes him and goes against him, is wajibul qatal, is to be killed. At the beginning, they were promoting this masala very much, that all who left Nizamuddin, Maulana Ibrahim Deola, all the big buzurg, and the others who are not following Nizamuddin, not following Mali Saad, they are wajibul qatal, they should be killed. So, it's true, if you go against the Amir, but which Amir? Your Ghash Jamaat Amir, or your 3-day Jamaat Amir, your 40-day Jamaat Amir, your 4 months, or Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith, which Amir? Amir, which is Khalifatul Muslimin. Who is, and which Amir? That I say today, I'm the Amir. And whoever doesn't obey me, he must be killed. The Amir which has been chosen by the Ummat. The Ummat has chosen him. That Amir, not what you say yourself, I'm an Amir. Not that Amir. Then we come to the claiming of the work of Tabligh is changing, and that he's saying he's Amir. So those are within tabligh circle. Out of tabligh circle, which affect everyone, the whole ummah, the ulama especially, the whole ummah, everyone, man and woman, it affects them, is the terrible statements he's making and continuously. He's not stopping all wrong things as far as aqidah is concerned, as far as masail is concerned, as far as the work of tabligh, all, everything, he's got many wrong things. Just to mention one or two. One is Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is the only Nabi whom Allah has mentioned in 29 of the 30 suparas. And his story, Allah has mentioned it over and over. And Allah made him, Allah says, we made you, O Musa, a means of hidayat for mankind. But he seems he only can find fault with Musa alayhi salam. How can you find fault with any Nabi? And then again, like the famous thing, he says that when Musa alayhi salam went and meet Allah, which was by the command of Allah, and 40 days he stayed there, then his people went astray, about close to 600,000, just under 600,000. They went astray. They say it is his fault. How can you find fault in a Nabi? And he says he entrusted them to his brother Harun alayhi salam, but he was the responsible person. He should have stayed. Now, yeah, of ajeeb thing also, the first time when the ulama of Dioban, they told him, it is wrong what you are saying. Then he made ruju. Undo. He said that what I said is wrong. But in the same letter at the bottom, he says, Mufti Shafi Sahib mentioned this also. In other words, it's right. So if it's right, then why did he make ruju? And if he has made ruju, then why he say it's right? If it's wrong, you only make ruju from a wrong thing. If I make a wrong statement, I'll say I'm wrong. Now I want to prove that wrong again, I say, no, it's right. And his followers, the ulama, quote from about 20 tafsirs or so, and say that all that what he's seeing is in the tafsir. And what ruju is he making? And if he's making ruju, then this is wrong. And if he's if he says this is right, then why did he make ruju? And the thing is that, for example, about the ruju, that he says that that he makes ruju, but then he says it's right what I told. And I'm sorry what I said, but it's right what I said. Then what you sorry for? So it doesn't make sense at all. And then these things which they quote from the tafsir, there are many things in deen which are only for the classroom. The differences are explained to the students. There are many things which are not even supposed to be told to the students. If we start quoting, and Musa alayhi salam's hidayat talk, 29 of the 30 suparas, open his hidayat, the great qudrat of Allah, his stick, the water, the river, everything, for nothing from there he finds proof. But this rare point here, there he finds proof. One person who was a tourist went many years ago to Nizamuddin, a tourist. He didn't go for Jamaat work or Muslim. But he went there. Nizamuddin is a famous place, so he went and see it as a tourist. But he looked at it with the eye of a tourist. He didn't see the great work that is taking. Hidayat of the whole world is taking place there. Jamaat from the world are coming and going. Bayans are taking place. What great work. Nothing of that he saw. What he saw, there is some dirt somewhere. And from here he went to Bhopal, Maulana Imran Bhopali, who was a master as far as the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu were concerned. He knew them like he's a family member, and he knew everyone so well. So he complained about Nizamuddin to him. Maulana lowered his head and then told that if a pig goes in a beautiful garden where there are roses and flowers and some water features, everything, nothing of that impresses him, that pig. But when he finds some dirt which is buried, he'll scratch it out and he'll spread it everywhere. So for us to find out these rare things and spread it in the ummah, Those are the things that you don't talk about. There are many things of big ulama, they have certain things, but these are not to be spoken. Tabligh platform is that platform that even Hanafi, Shafi, which are haqdai ikhtilaf, but that also is not allowed to be spoken about. And you can't have talim of masail also in tabligh. You do it on your own. Yeah, only what the whole ummah is unanimous. And this he was being warned by Maulana Ibrahim Deula long, many times. All the other elders, Maulana Yaqub Saharanpuri, they told him, don't speak all these things. But he just insisted and carried on. So, and Musa alayhi salam stories are full of hidayat. But he went and speak out this one rare thing, and then he speaks about that. Then about, for example, he's speaking, which is a good thing, encouraging business people to make asr namaz, which is good. We all must make, everyone, the whole ummah. Then he presents it in this way now, see. And they try and defend this. He defends it in this way. He presents it that the kuffar, they give in preference to dunya. They've got love of dunya in them. And they haven't got deen. They don't prefer deen. Then he says, see, Sulaiman alayhi salam, when his horses were brought and he was seeing them, then he gave preference to his horses till the sun set also. And he missed his asr namaz. Now, how can you connect that with... He didn't find any other dalil to prove asr is important. To any other Quranic ayat, any hadith he didn't find, he finds this rare point. And he presents it in this context. Now, how can a person... Who does this? Who can do all this kind of thing? So therefore, all his other matters also are very, very wrong. He says that our iman is better than the iman of the malaika, the sahaba, the anbiya. The hadith he quotes is 100% correct. Kalimatu haq turida bihil batil. But what is the whole situation? That is our iman more stronger? We who make tanqis of the anbiya, who find fault in ismat anbiya, is that iman stronger than the anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam? We who do everything wrong and changing sharia, changing aqai, our iman, where we stand, that is not applicable to us. And our iman and our yaqeen, which is so weak, we are the worst of creation, our gunas, we all know our own gunas. And now we want to claim that we are our iman more stronger. That is true. The hadith is 100% correct. But to who does it apply? And that hidayat is not in the hands of the anbiya, not in the hands of Allah. If hidayat was hands in of Allah, then why did Allah send the anbiya to guide the people? That hidayat is in the hands of the anbiya, which is clear against the ayat, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Our effort is in our hands, Allah put it, we must make effort. But hidayat is only in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Then one major thing also, which very much, and many of his followers also say the same thing, that da'wat is more important than deen. That more than practicing on deen, to set for mashura, etc. To give, this is easy to understand, there is enough proof, more than enough in our sharia. But, for example, you're going for umrah anywhere, you go with your car till the airport, that was your means to reach the airport. Now you're not going to sit in your car, now you're going to go in the jet. You're going to fly now. So the effort of deen is to bring deen. Deen is the object, not the effort of deen. Deen, without effort, you won't get deen. And the correct effort, then deen will come. But now to say that whole life, deen is more important. And you don't give preference to deen itself. It's that famous that you're giving azan and not making namaz. You're making wuzu, you're not making namaz. And this is a very important thing by them, that the effort is more important than the deen itself, which is totally wrong. The deen is the most important. So now what is our duty and our faras? For those who understand it now, to denounce the falsehood, not just keep quiet. We are also guilty of guna if we keep quiet about this. And we must support the haq. Make it known. And everyone, we don't have to go and put it in a newspaper tomorrow. But everyone in his circles, not even necessary to go on the social media, but in our circles, everyone must make it clear. Don't just keep it in our heart that who is on the right, who is on the wrong. And everyone according to circles. Those ulama, how much influence who they got, they have to make it known there. People in their families, in their friends, everyone, it's our duty that we follow the truth and make it known, and we denounce the falsehood, that we make it known also. And that we don't associate and socialize with these people. We don't attend their programs. We don't welcome them at our place for their programs. And we don't attend their ijtima. And we don't allow others. For that, it has comes clearly. Man kathara sawada qawmin fahuwa minhum. Whoever will add to the numbers of people by adding to going to their programs, by going to their ijtima. In hadith says, we were counted with them. We are in the same guna, even if we're just going to see. Even if we are just because our friends have come, and we're meeting our friends for whatever reason. And also it comes in the Hadith Sharif, Man radiya bi'amali qawmin fahuwa minhum. Whoever is happy with the actions of a people, he is counted amongst those people. And to be happy is just to be present there. And without a valid reason, you are present there. And you are you associate with them, you carry on with them, that is also you are happy. And the same guna of theirs will be with us also. And also, it comes in the hadith, then, مَوَّقَّرَ صَاحِبَ بِتَتٍ فَقَدْ عَانَ عَلَى هَدْمِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Whoever shows respect and honor to a sahib, a bid'at, a bid'ati. And bid'ati is not only what we think of the Barelvis who make the tija and the qiyam, maulud and the urus and that, but anyone who brings a new thing in Islam, if we show respect, like now that Imam of the Haram came and all the respect showed to him, we are helping to destroy Islam. Allah's arsh shakes at this time, that when these things are being done. So we have to be very careful where we stand. If we do mix with them, it can be only for one reason, sincerely, that we want to explain to them. We want to make them understand and win them over. Ibn Sirin was a great tabi'. On one occasion, an Ithna Ashariya Shia wanted to meet him. He refused, "I won't meet him." Then the people's, his own Khadims also and his students, "Hazrat, he wants to meet you." And he's saying, "He'll only read the ayat of the Quran. Nothing else I will do. Not one word. Not one alphabet from my side I will." He said, "Chase him away from here." Afterwards, his students asked him, his Khadims, that, "Hazrat, why you so hard?" He says, "A person who's on haq, even if he speaks of dunya matters, we have to speak. Bring my breakfast, bring my towel, bring my shoes, whatever. There will be noor in there also. And a person of batil, if he just reads the ayat of the Quran, there will be zulmat and darkness in there also." So we have to be very careful who we mix with, who we associate with. Today, as far as dini matters, we are very big-hearted. For dunya, we won't say that this drug addict, also call him in for a cup of tea. And the person who raped your wife, that will give him, let him come sleep by us today. He hasn't got a place to sleep. Dunya's matters, we can understand the harm. But unfortunately, deen's matters, we don't seem to understand the harm. Then another very ajeeb thing, which is no explanation, seems to be coming forth. There must be, but I don't. That the whole world knows. The Indian press and media was ablaze with the court cases that were from the courts of India against Maulana Saad. Amongst them, money laundering and other things also. Then suddenly he went in hiding. And how the intelligence couldn't trace him, it's mind-boggling. How they couldn't find him, a person who's hiding. They could have found him. Anyway, after that, then they said, "Okay, you're permitted to come stay now at your house in Nizamuddin. But you can't go to the masjid." Afterwards, he started going masjid. No programs. Now programs also. Fully off. Now where are all those court cases? What's happening? There is something sinister happening here, which everyone can see that what is happening. What is this whole game that is being played? That first they laid the charges, and now the charges are there, but now, and he's carrying on. Everyone can think for himself that what sinister game is being played here. Then, my own personal experience, when all this was happening around about 2014-15, I received 2-3 bayans of mine. They said it's my bayan. And in Urdu, and that I'm saying in the bayan, I'm the Shaykhul Hadith of Darul Uloom Azadwan, which was also not true at all. And that I'm saying that the Shura group, they are guilty of sitting on the mimbar in the masjid and making ghibat about Nizamuddin and about Maulana Saad. When I heard that, it's not my voice, it's not my subject, so this is how they operate. And that is their modus operandi, modus operandi, that is of their. What wrong, total things. And this is my own personal experience, that how wrong things they are saying. And many people say, we can't stop Nizamuddin Jamaat. Because they're talking 6 points, is zikr of Allah. So we must allow the Barelvis also to come, have the maulud, and read the salami. That also is zikr of Allah. So you must allow that also. And you must allow the Shias with their mercias and all things what they do also. That is also a zikr of Allah. They're thinking, or Ahle Bayt, Fazilat, they make bayan. So you must allow that. It doesn't make sense. Some people say that Medina Jamaat came. How can I refuse Medina Jamaat? That is, Dare Parda. Behind the parda, we are putting an accusation on Allah Ta'ala. That Allah, how could you put Abu Lahab's surat on top of Surah Ikhlas? How could you put it in the Quran Sharif? And you put it on top of Surah Ikhlas. Abu Lahab, the uncle of Nabi Sallam, and your father's brother is in the position of your father. But when he was on Batin, how openly Allah Ta'ala, Tabbat Yada, what words Allah has used? Abi Lahabiyun wa Tab. Ma aghna anhu ma luhu wa ma kasab. Sayasla nar. And then for his wife also, how serious. So there also, what was haq, Allah made it clearly known. Even if it was the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whoever it is, the criteria is haq and batil. Not whose family, not whose uncle, not whose son, not whose family, no dream. Know that 100 years work was being done in Nizamuddin. If that work carries on today, Mubarak. All of us are for it. But if the opposite work is carrying on, the demolishing of Islam, then that 100 years work is also one side. Now we will follow Haq. That is a very, very important thing. When Makkah Sharif was conquered, then the time came when Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam told Hazrat Bilal to go on top of the Kaaba and give azan. The Sahaba, senior Sahaba, told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Quraysh, they were a respected elite people, and they will take offense at an Abyssinian slave. He's like announcing the victory of the Muslims. He's gone on the Kaaba and he's giving azan that this is Muslim land from now, and only Muslims will be here. So rather send some other honorable person of the Quraysh to go, so that they can accept the news happily. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam became angry and upset. He says when Bilal was being tortured in the hot sands of Saudi Arabia, how lot in the battles when arrows were coming upon him, and when all sides he stood for Islam, and he called the azan under all circumstances. Today Abu Bakr won't call the azan. Today Umar won't call the azan. Today Bilal will go. And he will. So for Haq, see what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. So we must stand for the Haq, even if it's the Abyssinian slave, whoever it is. But for Haq, what honor Nabi alayhi wa sallam gave him by the command of Allah. Nothing else. But today we, family people, close people, we haven't got the love of Deen, love of Allah. Our family is more beloved. Allah says, "In kana abakum wa abnaakum." If any of these, the eight categories of people, today you give them preference over Allah and His Deen, فَتَرَبَّصُوا, wait for Allah's azab to come. Allah will overtake you with His azab. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand the right thing and then to make it known and to get people to disassociate with them, not to go to the ijtima or anything in any way. If not, we are guilty of mudahana and we will face those charges by Allah Ta'ala in the akhirat. But unfortunately, akhirat means nothing to us. We are only worried of dunya and we are in peace in dunya. Our main thing must be akhirat, the pleasure of Allah. May Allah give us tawfiq. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa warzuqna ittiba'a, wa arina al-batila batila warzuqna ijtinaba. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلق سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.